Today's episode of Court Junkie is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Tax returns could look a little different this year. So when the big carriers start trying to get you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out and only go for the best deals. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less.
How's it going? Hey, man, Deputy Western with Jackson County Sheriff's Office. Reason for my traffic stop, just doing a routine check of the tag. It's not coming back with anything for this tag. Do you have any registration or anything? Because that would help me out just a little bit.
28-year-old Jackson County Deputy Sheriff Zachary Wester typically made up to about 14 different traffic stops per shift, each one starting off much like what you just heard. He even warned one of those he stopped to be careful who you trust.
But you've got to be careful who you let around your personal belongings, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of people that you think you can trust, you can't.
But after just over a year with the Jackson County Sheriff's Office in Florida, Zachary Wester was under investigation himself. Internal Affairs would review his body cameras. They would find 12 different instances where they believed Deputy Wester planted drugs on people in the community.
The evidence in this case has shown you that the defendant used his position as a deputy sheriff to make traffic stops on 12 members of this community and plant methamphetamine in their cars, methamphetamine and paraphernalia. He then arrested these people and he falsified sworn reports, which were official records with the sheriff's office. He then used these reports and this fabricated evidence to put these people in jail for crimes that they did not commit when they otherwise would not have gone to jail.
These instances would lead to 67 charges against Zachary Wester. And a six-person jury in Marianna, Florida, would have to decide if Wester was guilty. Was he really a corrupt police officer, guilty of charges ranging from racketeering to false imprisonment? This is Jillian, and in partnership with Law and Crime, you are listening to Court Junkie, episode 168. School's out for the summer, but if your business is running QuickBooks, you'll never get a break. QuickBooks' manual processes, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays will leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Failing to graduate to NetSuite will leave you stuck in summer school while your friends party. NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system, no matter how big your business grows. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. Automate your processes with NetSuite and close your books in no time. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control since graduating from QuickBooks to NetSuite. And special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to graduate today. Head on over to netsuite.com/court right now. That's special financing at netsuite.com/court. netsuite.com/court. Traveling on summer vacation is a great way to disconnect, but sometimes you just need to connect to public Wi-Fi to take care of email or post some photos on social media. Unfortunately, cyber criminals can spy on unsecured public Wi-Fi networks. They can see your browsing history, read emails, and even see your passwords. Every day, we put our information at risk on the internet. In an instant, a cyber criminal could steal what's yours, sometimes even harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. And you have access to a dedicated restoration specialist if you become a victim. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But you can help protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com/court. That's LifeLock.com/court for 25% off. Zachary Wester was from a law enforcement family. His father was a Jackson County deputy sheriff in the state of Florida, and in 2015, he officially became a deputy sheriff with Liberty County. After a year there and some disagreements with the sheriff, he chose to go home to Jackson County. He again went through brief training. His training officer, William Crisp, later told the court that Zachary Wester was an exceptional officer. He didn't need to be given an instruction more than once. The prosecution, both during their opening statements and closing arguments, mentioned the badge and oath that Wester had signed and carried. Assistant State Attorney Tom Williams said the badge gave him the power to arrest people and that Wester abused that power. He insisted he wasn't protecting the public, but instead he was breaking the public's trust.
This is a case about the abuse of that incredible power and a case about the abuse of the incredible trust that we all put, and we have to put, in law enforcement in a society.
According to the state's case, Deputy Wester had planted evidence in at least a dozen cases during routine traffic stops. Each alleged victim took the stand during the trial. Each of their testimonies were somewhat similar. The suspicious stops started with a woman named Maria Turner. In July 2017, Maria was driving down Highway 69 in Jackson County, Florida. She was in her fiancé's Ford F-150. She turned onto Highway 90 when she saw police lights behind her. She was being pulled over.
All right, when you were pulled over, did the sheriff's deputy who pulled you over make contact with you?
Yes.
Did he tell you the reason for the stop?
Yes, he said that he pulled me over because when he passed me, he smelled the aroma of marijuana.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. Had you been smoking marijuana in the car at that time?
No, sir.
Did you have a chance to notice or recognize if the car smelled like marijuana to you?
No, it did not to me.
Were the windows open at the time of the stop?
I had the driver's side cracked because I was smoking a cigarette.
All right. So you were smoking a cigarette?
Yes, sir.
Maria testified that she told Deputy Wester that there was no way there was any marijuana in the car. The only thing she said she had been smoking was the cigarette.
Now, you were on probation at the time of this stop, correct?
Yes, sir. And I had been for quite some time. I had not been in any trouble since then.
Well, yeah, just one answer at a time. So let me get there. But you were on probation at that time, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And did you tell him that? Did that come up during the course of this stop that you were on probation?
Absolutely.
All right. And specifically drug probation?
Yes, drug offender probation.
Deputy Wester put her in the back of his police cruiser while he conducted a search of her vehicle. Maria couldn't see him actually searching the car, but she did notice that he went back to his trunk at one point before continuing.
He went first to the driver's side and searched. He then went back to his trunk, the trunk of his car, and went back to my car, or my truck, I'm sorry.
When was the first time that he told you he had found something when he was searching your car? Was it before or after he had gone back to his patrol car?
After.
Deputy Wester came back and told her he found drugs in her truck.
He came back from the passenger side and he said that he found a container that had a crystal-like substance that looked like methamphetamine.
Did he show you the container?
He did show me the container. It was in his hand.
Did you recognize it?
I honestly can't remember if I did or didn't at that time. I just knew that he was, you know, saying something to me that my mind was just a flutter. I just knew that there wasn't anything in my car, and he was telling me there was.
Maria said she knew the drugs weren't hers. Unlike several of the other cases, the state wasn't able to find video of Maria's traffic stop. Also, unlike some of the others, no other officer was present. During her cross-examination, defense attorney Ryan Davis asked Maria about her past drug use and criminal record. She said the previous drug charges were from pills and that she had been charged with a felony. But Davis also asked her another question, one about a civil suit.
And are you, have you filed any type of civil suit because of this?
I have.
That's all I have. Thank you.
The next month, Deputy Wester pulled over Reginald Williams. Reginald was driving to work with a shattered windshield. His girlfriend, Rebecca Laster, was in the car with him. Deputy Wester searched the vehicle with permission. Again, he said he found methamphetamines. This time, it was inside the area of Reginald's lunchbox, normally where an ice pack would go. Reginald's girlfriend said she had packed his lunch that day and that the drugs weren't there before Deputy Wester opened it.
On his way to work in the middle of the day, he's pulled over. He said it's a lunchbox that he regularly uses. There's a search of that car, includes the lunchbox, a lunchbox that was packed 5 to 10 minutes earlier by his fiance or girlfriend, Ms. Laster. The defendant says he finds methamphetamine in it. Ms. Laster packed his lunch 5 to 10 minutes earlier in that exact same lunchbox, and it wasn't in there. Now, do you really think he's going to take meth to do on his lunch break or have in his lunchbox at work?
Again, there was no video available from Deputy Wester's body cam.
Once again, like other victims in this case, we don't have any video of it at all. Nothing. Not even a partial video. Now, that's not unlike what Ms. Laster testified to. She says she was standing back by a tree a ways away. She sees Reginald start to get arrested. She pulls out her phone. She starts to try to take a video, so there would be one. But she said the defendant told her to put it away and that he was going to arrest her if she didn't. That's why we don't have a video from this incident. That's why. Common sense tells you that he chose not to use his video, and he prevented her from recording one.
A little over a month later, on October 2nd, 2017, Benjamin Bowling was arrested by Deputy Wester. His fiance, Shelley Smith, was driving their vehicle at the time. The couple was on their way home from Dollar General after picking up diapers. According to Benjamin, Deputy Wester pulled over the vehicle because of a lack of tag lights and because he said they were swerving.
Do you remember swerving on the road or Mrs. Smith swerving?
Not really. I know right before we got to Darby's, there was a dead animal in the road and she kind of, but still nothing,
okay.
Nothing major. She was driving normal.
Understood. But she could have maybe moved around to not hit an animal. Correct?
Yes.
All right.
Both Benjamin and his fiance gave Deputy Wester their IDs. Benjamin's was a prison issued ID. He recounted the search of his vehicle to the court. Just like Maria Turner, he said he saw Deputy Wester go back to his patrol car before he found the drugs, this time in baggies out of the broken center console.
He proceeded to the back of his car, got some things out, come back to my vehicle, or Shelley's vehicle, laid some gloves on the back of the vehicle, and then walks to the driver's side, looks through real quick on the driver's side, then comes back around, grabs the gloves, goes to the side I was sitting on the passenger side.
And did he search that side?
He did for a brief moment, and then he asked me to step over to the vehicle on the passenger side where he was.
Okay. Did you do that?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right. Was there any conversation there? Or?
There was. He asked me if I smelled the marijuana. I said, yes, I do, but it is not coming from my vehicle.
All right.
I don't know if it was out in the woods or whatever, but I know it's not coming from my vehicle.
You knew the smell of marijuana.
Oh, yes, sir. I do know the smell of it, but it definitely was not coming from my vehicle.
Do you know if it was the smell of burnt marijuana or fresh marijuana?
It was fresh. It was not burnt. It was definitely smelled like a green tree, I guess you would say.
Okay.
And then he told me to step back to the back of the vehicle and continued his search. It was only another brief minute or two, he come to the front of the vehicle and threw some baggies on the front of his hood that was loosely wrapped with a string and had some type of straw or pin or something about, like, you know, something short. And he says, yeah, you have any idea what this is? I said, no, I don't. I said, you know, what is it? He's like, oh, I'm pretty sure I know what it is. And then he goes to the back of his vehicle and gets the test kit.
Did he perform a test, a field test kit?
Yes, he did.
Did he tell you whether or not it turned positive for meth?
He said it was positive for methamphetamine.
Did he ask you if it was yours?
He did.
Did he tell you where he had found it specifically?
It's been a while, but I know that I believe he told us that he found it in the center console.
Right.
But then he told...
Well, we're going to get to that.
So yes.
Hold on that.
Okay.
On the stand, Benjamin said Deputy Wester changed the location multiple times when talking to other people. He initially said the items were in the console, then in between the console and the seat, and then in the seat. The prosecution asked Benjamin the outcome of his case and arrest. Benjamin said that he took a plea deal, but not because he was guilty.
Did you believe at the time you entered the plea, did you believe that anybody was going to believe you?
No, I did not.
And were you concerned about going back to prison?
Yes, I was.
When it was time for the defense to cross-examine Benjamin, they only had two focuses. First, how many felonies had he been convicted of? The answer, two. And second, had he filed a civil suit? Yes. On redirect, the assistant state attorney asked why Benjamin filed the suit.
Why are you in a civil case? I mean, let me ask you this way. Do you feel like this was wrong that happened to you?
Absolutely. I lost my child because of this.
All right.
Yes, it was very wrong.
2 weeks later, on October 16th, 2017, Derek Benefield had two passengers in the vehicle with him. He initially thought the deputy sheriff was pulling him over for speeding because his speedometer was broken, but he claimed he was never told why he was being pulled over.
At some point, did you end up, you and the two people there with you in your car, did they end up getting out of the car?
Yes, sir.
How did that happen?
He pulled me out first, and then he pulled Forrest out, and then he pulled Skyler out.
Okay, and those are the other two people that were in the car?
Yes, sir.
Did he tell you why he was pulling you out?
To search us. He said it smelled like marijuana.
Had you been smoking marijuana in the car that day?
No, sir.
Had you been smoking recently in that car?
No, sir.
Did you have a chance to know whether it did smell like marijuana to you in that car that day?
No, sir. I know it didn't.
All right. Did you and those two people get out of the car?
Yes, sir.
Where did you two go? Where on all three of you?
On the hood of the cop car.
Derek recalled that Deputy Wester was alone during the stop. He said Deputy Wester claimed to have found a pen top and baggie around the driver's seat of the vehicle.
Did that concern you when you heard that there was a pen top found?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you remember seeing a pen top around that area where he said he found it?
No, sir.
Did he tell you whether or not there was anything inside of it or related to it, anything else that he had found?
He pulled a baggie out of it, sir.
Did he do that in front of you?
Yes, sir.
You saw that baggie?
Yes, sir.
Now, had you ever seen that baggie or that pin top in your car before?
No, sir.
Did you know where it came from?
No, sir.
Derek told him that it wasn't his, but Deputy Wester told him there's nothing he could do, that that's where he found it. Derek was arrested and taken to jail.
Do you recall how long you were in jail?
7 months, sir. I believe so.
You say 7 months?
I ain't for sure, but...
Is that an estimate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fair enough.
Derek admitted to having four prior felonies on his record. He also told the jury he took a plea deal.
Why did you plead to it if you're telling this jury and you told the deputy at the time that that stuff wasn't yours?
So my lawyer and nobody were trying to help me, sir.
Did you believe that anybody would believe your word over a deputy?
No, sir. My mom raised me like that.
Well, let me just, that's a yes or no. Did you believe that anybody would believe your word over a deputy?
No, sir.
Derek was also asked if he had filed a civil suit. He said he had. When asked why, he said this ruined his life. The prosecution told the jury about another incident in February of 2019. The arrest of a man named Richard Driggers. Richard said he was on his way home from work one day when Deputy Wester pulled him over. At first, he thought the officer was going to pass by him, but quickly realized it was he who was being stopped. After Deputy Wester searched his car, he showed Richard a needle with foil wrapped around it and asked him if he uses meth or cocaine. Richard said he admitted he had used meth before, but that he had been clean for 6 or 7 years. Deputy Wester asked to see his arms, looking for needle marks, but didn't see any. He told Richard he was being arrested, while Richard swore up and down that the drugs weren't his. "I knew nobody was going to believe it wasn't my stuff," he testified. "He's a cop." Teresa Odom's arrest was less than a week later. Deputy Wester had a full body cam video for this one.
All right. When you got pulled over, you remember a sheriff's deputy come in and explaining to you the reason for the stop?
Yes, sir, I do.
What did he tell you the reason for the stop was?
He told me my lights were flickering.
Now, that was an older truck you were driving,
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir.
Did it have some problems with the lights?
No, sir.
Okay.
Teresa testified that there was nothing wrong with her brake lights. The prosecutor asked her if she consented to a search. She said she did because she knew there was nothing in the truck.
So we see Mrs. Odom freely consent. Look at the way she consents. Look at the way she's moving around in the car. Why would she freely consent if she had meth in that car? Why would she be asking about $5 in her purse before he's... Think about that. I mean, it's like the console with a manual. It's like Van leaving a console lit up. Why in the world would she be making mention of her purse if she had meth in there? Why would she be directing his attention to it? It's because it wasn't in there. It wasn't in there.
According to the prosecution, the body camera video from this night actually shows how Deputy Wester planted evidence. They claim you can see him holding a baggie with drugs in it, and that he specifically obstructed the body cam's view when going through Teresa's purse. The camera never shows the inside of the purse, just the edge and what he removes from it.
The most incredible thing about the Odom stop is why in the world does the defendant have palmed in his hand, just clasped like this, not like this, and you see it in the corner, a plastic baggie by his own admission. Why in the world does he have that there? I would submit that this is objective evidence where you see him planting drugs in the moment. You see something in his hand that has no reason, no logical reason, given this stop and what we know about it, for it to be there. This is him planting evidence, and you see it. His explanation about what is there is not reasonable and makes no sense.
The prosecutor asked Teresa if she had ever seen the baggie before.
Had you been in your purse that day?
I had just cleaned my purse out looking for that money,
okay. That
$5.
Did you see any white, white plastic bag in there?
Absolutely not.
Deputy Wester's body cam was still running while Teresa was in the back of his car. She told him she had a daughter who struggled with drugs and said that she may have had access to her car. The next victim, according to the state, was Joshua Clenny.
What did he tell you the reason for him stopping you was?
If I can recall right, I think it was a seatbelt.
Now, do you remember whether or not you had your seatbelt on?
I don't think I did.
Okay.
At the time of the stop, he was on probation for burglary.
At some point, did he tell you that there was going to be more going on than just a seatbelt violation? There was more to the stop?
No, not at the time. He asked, could he search the vehicle, and I gave him permission to.
Okay. Do you remember why it was, or did he tell you why it was he was asking to search the vehicle?
I don't recall why.
Well, why'd you agree?
Because there was nothing in the vehicle at the time.
Joshua told the court that he knew there were no drugs in his truck. Yet Deputy Wester said he found a baggie of meth.
It was not in that truck.
Well, how is it that you know?
Because I just know in my heart I don't do meth, and neither does nobody I hang around. He was the last person in my truck, and it wasn't in there before he left.
Well, and let me ask it this way. Do you remember, you said it was a car that you drive at least every other day, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Is it a truck that you had any reason to go through or clean or look under things?
I had no, my truck stays mostly clean, and I had no reason to do that. And I don't bother with drugs to start with, and the drugs were not in my truck, sir.
until he went in there last.
The following month, Deputy Wester made two more traffic stops that resulted in arrests. One was that of Steve Vann, who was pulled over after Deputy Wester said he saw him swerving. When Deputy Wester told him why he was being pulled over, Steve said he was on his way to the auto body shop because of his front alignment. He readily consented to a search of his vehicle. Inside, Deputy Wester said he found crystals under papers in the center console.
Not driving home in the middle of the night, driving to the auto shop in the middle of the day. It's daylight. Getting his front end aligned, which is consistent with what Deputy Wester said he pulled him over for, swerving. Well, okay, that makes sense. That's reasonable. But like Mr. Emanuel, why would Mr. Vann, if it was really in his car, if he really had meth in his car, why in the world would he freely volunteer to a search of the car? Even the defendant admits that he freely volunteered. He said, I know what you're trying to do. Go ahead and do a search of my car. He wouldn't have done that. And he says that on the video as he's crying. There's tears in his face on that video, like you saw. He's saying, if I knew there was meth in my car, do you really think that I would have told you to go ahead and search? The defendant says that when he got in that car, that console where he allegedly found the meth was already open. So let's go one further. Why would he say that and leave that console wide open if there really was meth in there? Why in the world would he have done that? Somebody who had otherwise been open, even to the point of telling the defendant that he had been to prison, and that he had dealt with meth in the past. Are those the actions of someone who really has methamphetamine in their car?
Steve told Deputy Wester that a woman named Crystal had been in his vehicle. It was a name most of the deputies knew because of her involvement in the drug world. The other arrest that month was Joshua Emanuel. He was the manager of a local clothing store. Joshua had also known one of Deputy Wester's supervisors since he was a child.
Josh Emanuel is the first victim we called. Who is he? Well, he's somebody who's in upper management at a clothing store, American Eagle. He told you that he voluntarily told the defendant that he had a gun in his car before the defendant had any reason to search it. He voluntarily told him that. Now, why would he do that if methamphetamine was really in his car, a syringe or methamphetamine? There's no reason logically why that would have happened. It was in an area, according to the defendant, where Mr. Emanuel would have been able to readily see it. He said it was sticking up between the console and the passenger seat. You saw the size of that car. You heard that he drives it every day. You heard him say that it's in an area that he would have seen it, and that it wasn't there. Not until he had been in the car.
The following month in May, Deputy Wester stopped Trevor Day and Kimberly Wood. He said he stopped them after he noticed Day's headlight was out. During the stop, Deputy Wester allegedly found marijuana and crystals of meth in the ashtray and center console. On June 3rd, 2018, Deputy Wester stopped a man named James Fears.
It was in Lowe's parking lot, which is right beside Walmart, and the traffic stop was because there was an issue with my tag.
During this traffic stop, another deputy was with Deputy Wester. The other deputy was the one who found narcotics in the car. But James said he never saw the drugs before.
Had you ever seen anything like that in your car?
No, sir.
Had you put anything back behind that front, the front passenger seat?
No, sir.
James had been in trouble for meth before, back in 2004, but said he had been clean since then. He said other people had been present in his vehicle. On cross, James, like many of the others, said he was suing Deputy Wester and the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. The final alleged illegal arrest was just 4 days later. Deputy Wester pulled over the Hazelwood family for crossing a double yellow line. Jeremy Hazelwood was driving, while his wife Kimberly was in the passenger seat. Their two young children were in the back.
Now, you mentioned that it was your van. Was it a van you normally rode in at that time?
Yes.
When would have been the last time you were in it before the day you got pulled over?
Just about every day.
On the body camera footage, Deputy Wester can be seen searching the vehicle. He goes through a few pieces of property before he begins to look into a trash bag. Inside, he finds a bottle that looks like an Excedrin pill bottle. According to the defense, it looks like there are drug crystals inside.
Is Hazelwood, do you remember him ever showing you that crystallized substance he says that was in the bottom of that Excedrin bottle?
No, sir.
Do you remember ever seeing any crystallized substance before you put it in the trash can? Any crystallized substance in the bottom of that bottle?
No, sir.
Did you have any meth in your car that day?
No, sir.
Did you see Jeremy with any meth that day?
No, sir.
My goal this summer was to sign my daughter up for as many fun outdoor activities as possible. Soccer, dance class, summer camp, and she loves all of it. And I have to admit that it gives me a little extra me time too, which means I get more time to play Best Fiends, the super fun Match 3 mobile puzzle game. Once you start playing Best Fiends, you won't want to stop. In fact, I just had a listener message me last week about how much fun she's been having after downloading Best Fiends. I've probably played about 50 more levels since I last told you guys about it, and my goal is to get to level 400 before the end of the month. Best Fiends has thousands of puzzles, and they add new ones all the time, so you'll never be bored. There are tons of cute characters to collect, my favorite one being Beebert the Bumblebee with his little glasses. It's free to download, and you can play it anywhere, anytime without Wi-Fi, which is great for when you're traveling. Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. It's time for some straight talk. Let's face it, tax returns could look a little different for a lot of people this year, but you're still going to get a lot of noise in your ear about how you should spend that money. So when the big carriers start trying to get you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out and only go for the best deals. Spend it on what makes you happy. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, so you can listen to your favorite music wherever you go. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Come on, start the year on a high note. Tune out the nonsense and tune in to Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. After all of the alleged victims of Deputy Zachary Wester were heard from, the defense began to present their case. Their main witness was Zachary Wester. Deputy Wester testified about each one of the traffic stops the jury had heard about. The cases weren't presented in chronological order. The first one Deputy Wester addressed was Joshua Emanuel from April of 2018. Deputy Wester told the court that Emanuel told him that there was a handgun in the center console, a handgun that he didn't have a permit for.
That wasn't necessarily a major concern. It was in the center console, but I did ask if I could go to the vehicle and retrieve it. He stated that wouldn't be a problem. And whenever I went to retrieve the handgun, I opened the center console and I noticed what appeared to be the top of a syringe sticking out from between the passenger seat and the center console.
Deputy Wester said he told Emanuel what he had found.
He seemed shocked, as if he had never seen that before, but nonetheless, he said, I'm not aware of any syringes, but go to the vehicle and grab it. That's no problem. So I went to the passenger side. Whenever I grabbed the syringe, I noticed that there was a sandwich bag attached to it. And within that sandwich bag was also a plastic baggie with what appeared to be methamphetamine.
He said he did a field test on it and it returned a presumptive positive. According to Deputy Wester, he arrested Joshua Emanuel. But he said that once he brought him to the county jail, he was instructed by Internal Affairs investigator, Lieutenant Mike Hodges, to issue a notice to appear instead.
So he asked the specifics for the traffic stop. I told him, with the placement of the narcotics, the placement of the paraphernalia, I didn't see any signs of use on Mr. Emanuel. So my words to him were, I had no reason to believe that he was using methamphetamine or using narcotics. However, his words to me were he had known Mr. Emanuel since Mr. Emanuel was a child and that he was going to issue a notice to appear for him.
And during your time
as a deputy sheriff with the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, how many times did you issue somebody a notice to appear when you had arrested them for a felony?
Never.
Did you think you were permitted to do that?
No, it was my impression that we were not allowed to issue notice to appears for felonies, and they really didn't want us to do it for misdemeanors either.
But had you previously issued a notice to appear on a misdemeanor during your time at the sheriff's office?
I believe one time.
Okay. So this might have been the second time you ever issued a notice to appear?
That is correct.
And would you have done that if Lieutenant Hodges hadn't called you?
No, never.
Deputy Wester's attorney asked Internal Affairs Investigator Lieutenant Mike Hodges about the change of the arrest to a notice to appear.
So was it a special circumstance that Mr. Wester arrested somebody you knew, and that's why he got a notice to appear?
No.
Then why did he get a notice to appear?
Based on me knowing the kid, the guy, he's a grown man now. I've known him since he was 7, 8 years old. His mother called me and told me that he had got arrested and asked, was there anything I could do? I was like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. So I hung up from her, called the dispatcher, asked about the case. They told me that Zach was the one that made the arrest. I called Zach. He told me everything that went on. Basically told me, he said, look, I don't believe it's his. It was found in the side of the console, but I had to charge him. I said, okay, well, I appreciate it. I called the sheriff. The sheriff, this is what the deal is. Is there anything we can do to help him? He said, you want to give him no ROR or notice to appear? That's fine. And that's how that took place.
The assistant state attorney wanted to focus on the fact that the body camera footage of this stop was incomplete.
We've seen it. It's a partial video. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
How did that happen?
So the body camera was initially... I attempted to activate the body camera to start the recording. In the recording, you will see about a 30 second period where there is no audio. There is nothing but video. After the body camera had experienced what I believe is what's called a reset function, the camera was back operational. I was able to double tap the center button and the video started recording as it should.
And as it starts recording, we see where you are, and then we see you go back and make contact with Mr. Emanuel and Trooper O'Pry, and you mention that syringe and that bag, correct?
Correct.
But it's clear from the video that that's not the first discussion of it, that prior to the video recording, it must have been discussed as well.
Yes, sir, as I testified.
All right. So that means that you had already been around on the driver's side car and had the chance to be in the area that you said you first saw it, correct?
When I was retrieving the firearm, that is correct.
But that's not on your body camera video, is it?
It is not.
And the beginning of the stop's not on the body camera video, is it?
It is not.
It doesn't start and it doesn't actually show anything until after you've already been in the car and had the opportunity to switch sides to the other side of the car, and after you've already had the opportunity to talk to Josh Emanuel with Trooper O'Pry right there, isn't that right?
That is correct.
The next arrest Deputy Wester was asked to discuss was that of Reginald Williams. Remember, Reginald was pulled over due to his shattered windshield. Deputy Wester reviewed his report on the stand. This stop had no body cam footage. The prosecution asked why that was. Deputy Wester said he turned the video on, but had no idea why it wasn't accessible.
The body camera error occurred as soon as the traffic stop was initiated.
Okay.
Yeah, had,
you know what? Let's move on.
Okay, great.
Let's move on. Mr. Williams is one that we don't have one on, and you're saying that it was deleted from the server, and that's why we don't have one at all. Is that right?
Yep, and I just want to be clear so the jury understands. By no means am I saying that someone deleted that video with some ill intent. What I am testifying to is that it was common for the body cameras, once there was a certain threshold within the server, for the body camera videos to be deleted. By no means am I saying it was deleted with ill intent.
Why would they have deleted if someone did? Would it have been somebody, a person, a staff member who would have done that?
Well, it would have had to have been a staff member.
Why would someone have deleted, in this instance, let's talk about Reginald Williams. That's what we're talking about.
Sure.
In that one, that clearly pertained to an arrest, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Why in the world would that have been deleted?
I wish I knew that answer.
You didn't take any photographs on that department-issued camera, did you?
I did.
And we don't have those for the case file for Mr. Williams, do we?
If it's not been provided, I would assume not.
Deputy Wester was then asked about Steve Vann. When asked why he stopped him, he said he noticed that he couldn't stay in one lane. At the time of the arrest, Steve told Deputy Wester that he had been to prison for drugs before.
You ended up having a conversation with Mr. Vann, and he tells you he's recently been released from prison, correct?
That is correct.
About how long ago?
I believe that it was within the month, maybe 2 months.
And he had been in prison for methamphetamine, correct?
That is correct.
Did you plant that methamphetamine in Mr. Vann's vehicle?
I did not.
Deputy Wester described his search and what he found in Steve's car.
So I began the search on the driver's side. I then transitioned to the passenger side. The center console lid was open. When I looked into the center console, pulled all the paperwork out, in the front corner, the corner of what appeared to be a plastic baggie caught my eye. And then when I retrieved that baggie, I noticed that it was either colored black or it had been a marker had been taken and colored it black. But nonetheless, the bag was black. When I opened it up and looked inside, it appeared to contain crystal methamphetamine.
Okay. And did you field test that?
I did.
And what were the results of the field test?
The swab that I used to swab the narcotics turned blue, indicating a presumptive positive for the presence of narcotics.
The prosecution went into more detail about the search on cross-examination, and they focused on the fact that Deputy Wester's body cam wasn't turned on until later in the stop.
That video starts when it does, the one that we saw. Do you dispute that? I mean, that's an accurate video?
That is an accurate video, yeah.
Okay, and it starts when you're on the passenger side, having already been in the driver's side. Isn't that right?
That is correct.
Why is that?
For this particular case, I don't recall if I experienced an issue like I experienced in the Emmanuel traffic stop.
From our standpoint with the video, it appears to be the same as the Emmanuel stop, doesn't it?
That could be your opinion, sure.
Well, the video starts and you're at the passenger side, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Having already been at the driver's side.
Correct.
And we see on the van video that when you're searching the passenger side and you reach into that center console, over that door that opens out towards you, that's when you allegedly find that black baggie of meth. Is that right?
That is when I found the black baggie of meth, correct.
You didn't find it when you were around on the driver's side and that door was open, face further away from you.
Correct. I did not remove the documents from that center console to search the center console on the driver's side.
It would have certainly been more accessible on that side, given the way that that console opened, right?
I'm 6'5". I have a long reach. So for someone else, sure, they might be able to answer yes to that question, but I would disagree.
Would it be harder for you on the driver's side?
Would it be harder on the driver's side?
Would it have been harder for you to have gone through the console on the driver's side?
No, sir.
Okay. I mean, you agree with the way that the Mr. Vann in the video shows the door opens towards the front seat passenger?
Yes, it does.
Leaving the console visible from that driver's seat?
That is correct.
Okay. But you didn't take those papers out until you were on the other side, until that lid was opened, blocking any other view from the inside to the inside of that console. Isn't that right? That's when you chose to take those papers out and go through them, right?
During my search, I did take the papers out of the center console when I was on the passenger side of the vehicle. That
I'm asking
correct.
About the timing. The first time you tried to do it, the first time was on the passenger side, right?
Correct, yes.
After it was already opened and you had already been at that area on the driver's side.
Mr. Vann left the center console open, so yes.
He had it open? And he consented to the search?
He had it open from whenever he retrieved his documentation for the vehicle.
Okay, so he's consented to the search and he left it open. Isn't that right?
Yes.
The questioning continued in much of the same manner for the next several cases, until the arrest of Teresa Odom. It was during the body cam footage of Teresa's case that the assistant state attorney said you could see Deputy Wester physically plant evidence. But Deputy Wester told the court a different story. In the video, you see a small baggie with a white substance in his hand before he searches Teresa's purse. Deputy Wester said there were two baggies and that the one in his hand wasn't the same as the one in her purse. On cross-examination, you can hear the frustration in both Deputy Wester's voice and the state attorney's.
Your testimony is that it was a different item, and in order for you to put it on the ground, you had to determine whether or not it had evidentiary value because it was already in your hand. So from it going from your left hand onto the floorboard, at what point do you stop and look at it and handle it the way you do all the other exhibits that you found
sure.
and all the other videos to make that decision? If it was indeed different.
Okay. I would not have opened up a baggie with my bare hands, first of all. I will say that.
I'm sorry. Let me break that down. It's already in your bare hands. You've already picked it up in your bare hand.
Correct.
Okay. So what difference is opening it up with your bare hands going to make?
But Mr. Williams, I didn't open it up and turn it inside out for the contents, if there were any contents, to get on my bare skin.
Was it a clear baggie?
I believe it was an off-white baggie.
You could have seen inside it, couldn't you?
I don't believe I could have. With this particular baggie, I don't believe I could have, because from what I remember, it was an off-white, almost an eggshell white.
You can't give a consistent answer on this because there isn't a consistent answer, correct? I mean, would you agree that you cannot tell this jury that this item that you say is different in your hand, that you were ever able to determine clearly if it had evidentiary value or if you looked at it and determined if it did?
Well, I can tell you that whenever I retrieved it from the door latch area,
yes, sir.
And let's remember I went to the door latch area because she opened the vehicle from the outside. Whenever I went to the door latch area and whenever I grabbed that baggie from the door latch area and brought it back, it only takes about probably not even a full second to look at something and visually see what it looks like. And sure, I didn't have x-ray vision, Mr. Williams. I couldn't scan the bag to see what was in there. I'm just testifying to what took place on that traffic stop.
Was it ever in your hand? Was it really? Was there anything different in your hand other than what you claimed you found in her purse? Was there even a second bag? Just tell the story. Was there ever even a different bag?
What are you asking? Are you asking if the bag that I recovered from the door latch was different than the bag from her purse?
I'm asking if there ever even was a second bag. Was there ever anything other than that bag, same bag being palmed in your hand that you later put in her purse and acted like you found out of that purse?
Okay. So what you just presented to this jury is absolutely absurd and not factual at all.
Stop. Ask the next question. Listen to the question. Answer the question.
Whether or not it was the same bag, a bag Deputy Wester pulled from Teresa's purse had gray hair around it.
Did you have long gray hair at the time?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay. Now, we saw Mrs. Odom. Did she have some gray hair at that time?
She did, yes.
Defense attorney Ryan Davis again asked Deputy Wester if he had planted the evidence or falsified the reports. Again, he said he had not. Earlier in the episode, you heard James Fears testify. He was arrested when he was pulled over for an unknown tag. His wife, Jade, was with him in their Chevy Tahoe. It was during this traffic stop that Deputy Wester searched the vehicle with another officer, Deputy Lee. Deputy Wester's body camera was on, but there was a moment when the video just went black. According to Deputy Wester's testimony, it went black because of his height, 6'5". Leaning over a seat. After he searched the passenger side backseat, he went back to the driver's seat. Deputy Lee was at the passenger side front seat. Deputy Wester moved the driver's seat up, then instructed Deputy Lee to do the same to the passenger seat.
And that is when you directed Deputy Lee to slide the seat forward on the front passenger seat on his side, correct?
Correct.
And then that allowed him to look under that seat from the back passenger seat where you had previously been.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And it was only then, for the first time, that anybody finds any meth in that car, correct?
That is correct.
After you'd already been in that area. Isn't that right?
Correct. Behind the front passenger seat, like directly behind it. It appeared as if there were several items of paper, and there was even a clear tray. I don't even remember what was in the tray. So he would have had to have moved that seat forward, yeah.
Again, Deputy Wester denied planting evidence or falsifying reports. This is also one of the only cases of the 12 where the charges ended up being dismissed. Just over a month after the incident, James Fears received a letter saying there wasn't enough evidence to prove his case beyond a reasonable doubt. The last arrest, chronologically, was that of Kimberly Hazelwood. Her husband Jeremy was driving the vehicle and their two young children were in the back seat. On the stand, Deputy Wester told the jury how this arrest was different for him. He didn't show Kimberly the evidence and he didn't cuff her. As a matter of fact, he said he didn't actually want to arrest her at all.
Now, we also saw on the video that you didn't want to cuff her in front of her children, did you?
That is correct. I did not.
So you put her in your car without cuffing her?
Into the secured area in the rear of my patrol car, yes.
And you later have a conversation with her husband about what's going to happen. She's scared. She's never been to jail.
Right.
And you tell him you have no discretion, correct?
That is true. No discretion.
I mean, did you want to arrest this mother in front of her children?
No. And to be honest, that is one traffic stop that sticks with me to this day. I never wanted to arrest someone in front of their children. But with a felony charge, I didn't have discretion. Now, I wish I could have given her an NTA.
Okay. Would this have been the one that you wanted to give a notice to appear to?
Absolutely. Yes.
Throughout the trial, the prosecution focused on Deputy Wester's body camera failures. None of the 2017 arrests had any associated footage. The defense said that this could be because the footage was deleted after 90 days. With regard to the incomplete footage, the defense asked Internal Affairs investigator, Lieutenant Mike Hodges, if Deputy Wester's body camera had documented failures. He said that it did.
Did Mr. Wester have a problem with one of his cameras?
Yes, I do remember that.
Okay. And was that camera sent back to Axon because it was malfunctioning?
I believe so, yes. That would have been something that Kelly Corbin had, but I do remember hearing that conversation.
Okay. And Mr. Wester was issued a new camera, correct?
That's correct.
So far, we have the prosecution alleging that Deputy Wester was planting drugs on various members of the community. And each of those alleged victims have testified and said they were framed. But how did all of this come about? How was Deputy Wester finally caught? When the defense first called Deputy Wester to the stand, they didn't start with his arrest of other people. They chose to start where this case began for him, with his suspension on August 1st, 2018. According to Deputy Wester, he started that day out on a call of a suspicious package at Alford Park. Inside the men's restroom there, he claims he found abandoned property, which included drugs.
Nobody was present. I walked into the male bathroom, and I believe it was in the right-hand corner whenever you walk into the bathroom. There was a black box with a Crown Royal bag sitting on top of that box.
And did you take custody of those items?
Before I took custody of the items, I did photograph those items with my department-issued digital camera. And as well, I opened up the box just to see what the contents were. And I immediately noticed that there were multiple items of narcotics and paraphernalia within that box.
Deputy Wester told the court he was called out to two critical traffic accidents before he had the chance to process and label the evidence. He just put the items in a brown evidence bag. He said that after he had responded to those calls, he then went back to the department. He parked his car and began to process the evidence he had found. While he was doing that, Deputy Wester was told he needed to meet with Lieutenant Hodges. It was there he learned that he was being suspended pending further investigation into his inconsistently working body camera. He said he left the items in his car and never returned to the vehicle.
Kind of explain to the jury those items and a little more detail what you were doing with those.
Yeah, sure. So in the photos, you observed that there were plastic canisters. Those are what we refer to as evidence vials. Anytime you had a powder narcotic or if you had a crystallized narcotic, it would be appropriate to place that into the evidence vials to preserve the integrity of the narcotics. And as well, it preserves the integrity further. Let's say if the bag rips, will you still have those narcotics within that evidence vial?
So what type of narcotics do you think you found there in that?
So the narcotics mainly had the appearance of methamphetamine and marijuana.
And would that be the methamphetamine and the marijuana that was found in your patrol car?
Correct, yes.
So what was your plan with that as you're sitting there in your vehicle?
So when I was sitting in the vehicle, I had the big brown bag that we saw on the video and on the photo. And I was separating the narcotics, the contents, from the bag, putting the suspected narcotics, into the clear evidence vial. My plan was in one bag to put the suspected narcotics, in another bag, put the paraphernalia so that the evidence custodian could dispose of those items, however state statute deems appropriate. I was in the process of doing that whenever Captain Arnold told me that he needed to speak with me with Lieutenant Hodges present. So before I went into the office, I took the brown bag with my roll of red evidence tape and placed it, I believe it was on the spare tire to where I could secure those items because we had trustees at the sheriff's office. By no means am I saying a trustee would break into a patrol car, but I did want to make sure that I was taking steps to secure those items. However, in the front seat, there were a pair of black evidence gloves, I believe two plastic evidence vials, a test kit, and two baggies that I was still working on. I did leave that on the center console area where my printer is, and I proceeded into the sheriff's office.
Okay. And was there also a syringe?
Yes.
And that was also found with the items in the box in that bathroom.
That is correct.
During the cross of Deputy Wester, the state asked about the field kit found in the police cruiser. Deputy Wester had used a field kit during almost all of his drug arrests. So when an unused kit found in his patrol car was discovered, Lieutenant Hodges and the other officers tested it. It was positive for methamphetamines. The state asked Deputy Wester about this preloaded kit.
And I don't want to, are you suggesting that it was preloaded for that test kit to be used at a later date without any ampules?
Well, I'm asking, let me ask it this way.
Yeah.
I mean, you would agree that there's what we now know is methamphetamine in that little plastic sleeve, correct?
Yes.
Before any field test kit has actually been done, correct?
Yes, sir. Correct.
Okay. Right there with your gloves in the front of your patrol car.
Correct.
And there's also a canister, a clear canister, with what we now know is methamphetamine there as well, correct?
Correct.
Unlabeled?
Correct.
No case number or any type of identifier on them, correct?
As I testified earlier, I was in the process of separating the narcotics from the paraphernalia.
The state asked Deputy Wester why he didn't report his seizure of all of these drugs right away, saying it probably would have been his largest.
This would have been one of the largest drug seizures of your career at Jackson County, correct? I'm not saying it's the largest, but it would have been one of the largest ones.
Yes.
It would not have been an ordinary seizure, correct?
But it was abandoned property, abandoned narcotics.
It was. What reports are there that demonstrate you being called to that location or you reporting that you found something at that location?
Yeah. So whenever I was placed on suspension, I did submit a FOIA request, which is a public records request to the sheriff's office, requesting a mirror image of my computer from that day.
The state tried to make the point during cross that Deputy Wester was trying to possibly move up in his department. But his attorney asked him if that's what he really wanted. Deputy Wester said he didn't want that and claimed he made more money on patrol because of off-duty gigs he could take. The prosecution recalled Lieutenant Mike Hodges to the stand. He said Deputy Wester never mentioned the seizure of drugs in the park bathroom.
I'm going to ask you a yes or no question. On August 1st, 2018, did the defendant, Zachary Wester, tell you that he was in the middle of processing items from a seizure or recovery of property that day?
No.
Nothing else, Judge?
The defense asked if there were notes or reports from their conversation that day. Lieutenant Hodges said there wasn't. Both the state and the defense closed out their cases. The state said the evidence showed that Deputy Wester abused his power as a Jackson County deputy sheriff. And he said they don't know anything more about those drugs Deputy Wester said he seized from that park bathroom.
We know that there is no record of how it legitimately got there as well. We had evidence of his CAD reports, computer automated dispatch system reports, Captain Arnold in patrol. Do these reports document anything like this for that day? No. Well, let's go back the whole month before, July, the entire month. Anything like this, whether it's criminal or not, it could be recovered or abandoned property, anything. No. We had somebody, Miss Finch from dispatch, Sergeant Finch, come in. Any record in dispatch at all about recovered narcotic property like this? No. There's another number for you. There isn't a legitimate reason as to what it's doing there, because there isn't one. There's only a logical reason. The logical reason is that it was his secret supply of drugs and paraphernalia that he had in the back of his patrol car that he could readily access during stops if he didn't legitimately find anything, that he could go back there, get what he needed, finish a search, and plan it, and then lie about it, make a false statement about it in those reports, and use that to arrest these people for crimes that they did not commit. Ladies and gentlemen, the evidence in this case has shown you beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant committed these acts against the citizens, these 12 citizens of this community, that he used his authority as a deputy sheriff to commit these crimes and render these people powerless and charge them for crimes they didn't commit.
Defense attorney Ryan Davis said there was no evidence of Deputy Wester doing anything wrong. He detailed each traffic stop that was presented in court and disputed that any of the drugs had been planted.
They're suing. That's why. So what we're asking you to do is to use your common sense, inspect the case, reflect on the testimony, look at the evidence, watch the videos if you need to, discuss it. And we submit to you, when you do that, you're going to have no choice but to find Mr. Wester not guilty.
The judge then gave the jury instructions on the 67 counts Zachary Wester was charged with, including racketeering, possession of a controlled substance, possession of paraphernalia, perjury, official misconduct, and false imprisonment. On May 18, 2021, the jury returned with their verdict. With all of the counts against Deputy Wester, the reading was almost 5 minutes long. Zachary Wester was found guilty on 19 counts out of the 67. The first was the racketeering charge. The remaining guilty verdicts were only on three of the specific cases during the trial: Teresa Odom, Joshua Emanuel, and Steve Vann. Those charges were official misconduct, perjury, fabrication of evidence, possession of a controlled substance, possession of paraphernalia, and false imprisonment. He was found not guilty on the remaining charges. On July 13, 2021, Zachary Wester was sentenced to 12 years, 6 months, and 8 days in prison. He was fired from the Jackson County Sheriff's Office after his suspension in 2018. Currently, there's a civil suit against Wester and the Jackson County Sheriff's Office based off of the traffic stops heard about today. And according to defense attorney Ryan Davis, Wester is planning to appeal the case. After Wester's arrest in 2018, the Liberty County Sheriff, Nick Finch, spoke to the Tallahassee Democrat about what Wester was like when he worked in Liberty County. If you'll remember, early in the episode, I mentioned that Wester first worked at the Liberty County Sheriff's Office before transferring to Jackson County. Sheriff Finch said that, quote, Wester seemed like a pretty squared-away young man at first, but that rumors circulated about him having sex on the job and affairs with married women. Finch said it's a small county, and that there was enough talk about Wester that made him, quote, not want this guy around. One such incident was said to occur after he arrested a woman at Walmart for shoplifting and then began a relationship with her. He received a 4-day suspension for that and in an internal affairs interview said that some of his behavior was completely stupid. Wester was with Liberty County for about 9 months before Finch said he ordered him fired. He said he even warned the Jackson County Sheriff not to hire him. And that's all for this episode. As always, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this case. Do you agree with the verdict? Do you think Zachary Wester should have been found guilty? Or do you think his arrests were in good faith? Let me know by joining the conversation on Instagram at Court Junkie, by tweeting me at Court Junkie Pod, or by emailing me at podcast@courtjunkie.com. Today's episode was researched and written by Polly Katowski with Law and Crime. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Polly Katowski. If you'd like to hear these episodes without the ads and hear additional Court Junkie bonus episodes, check out my Patreon options at courtjunkie.com/support. And be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/courtjunkie. Thanks again for listening. Until next time. Imagine a podcast episode with Ulrich the Mole Larsen, a family man from Denmark who spent 10 years undercover in North Korea, infiltrating its illicit arms trade. Or maybe one with Bruce Sackman, a renowned investigator who tracks down serial killers. Sounds pretty interesting, right? Well, then you'll want to check out The Jordan Harbinger Show, which is a podcast you really should be listening to, especially if you're a court junkie. Jordan's show, which Apple named one of its best of 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusions about what's happening, even inside your own brain. Each episode is a conversation with a different, fascinating guest, and there is something for everyone here. In one episode, Jordan talks to a hostage negotiator from the FBI who offers techniques on how to get people to like and trust you. Another episode tells the story of a cinematographer who discovered a lost city in the jungle and made one of the most important archaeological finds of the century. I really enjoy this show and think you will as well. Search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.